summoned Jehoiada, the chief, and said to him, "Why have you not required the Levites to bring in from Judah and Jerusalem the tax levied by Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the congregation of Israel for the tent of the testimony? For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken into the house of God and had also used all the declared things of the house of the Lord for the Baals." So the king commanded, and they made a chest and set it outside the gate of the house of the Lord. Proclamation was made throughout Judah and Jerusalem to bring in for the Lord the tax that Moses, the servant of God, laid on Israel in the wilderness. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought their tax and dropped it into the chest until they had finished. And whenever the chest was brought to the king's officers by the Levites, when they saw that there was much money in it, the king's secretary and the officer of the chief priest would come and empty the chest and take it and return it to its place. Thus they did day after day and collected money in abundance. And the king and Jehoiada gave it to those who had charge of the work of the house of the Lord, and they hired masons and carpenters to restore the house of the Lord, and also workers in iron and bronze to repair the house of the Lord. So those who were engaged in the work labored, and the repairing went forward in their hands, and they restored the house of God to its proper condition and strengthened it. And when they had finished, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, and with it were made utensils for the house of the Lord, both for the service and for the burnt offerings, and dishes for incense, and vessels of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord regularly all the days of Jehoiada.
Just realized that my recording was not working, which is unfortunate because you guys have made some great observations and they will be lost in the annals of time. I'll go back and re-record stuff and try to pretend to do.
Can the mic like catch us?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'll try to do your voices. So.
Yeah, just dub it in for memory.
This is what I think Austin said. Definitely, that was Austin.
He sounded like this.
I'm not even going to try. Right, so you see that the tax levied by Moses, the tax that Moses, the servant of God, had given. So Jehoiada is referencing this. He's remembering Exodus 30, and this is what they're doing. It seems like this is an important time because they're reestablishing temple worship. They need money for the utensils and the tools for the functioning. So we see this here. All right. Well, let's probably spend the rest.
Like the deacon's fund.
Yeah, maybe right. The deacon's fund. Yeah, it's a good analogy.
We need to strengthen this room with paint.
Oh, yes. Deacons, if you're listening. So let's go to 1 Samuel 8. We'll spend the rest of our time there this morning. Israel is demanding a king. They are going to Samuel and asking him for this. Samuel talks to the Lord. Jillian, you want to read verses 10 to 18?
Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking for a king from him. He said, "These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties and some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his implements of war and equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vineyards and will give it to his officers and to his servants. He will take your male servants and female servants and the best of your young men and your donkeys and put them to work. He will take the tenth of your flocks and you shall be his slaves. And in that day you will cry out because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will not answer you in that day."
So what do we hear about in this warning?
It'd be like the nations around you, for one.
Austin says thumbs down. Yeah. Just for those who, yeah, don't be like the nations. Yeah.
Well, they had the Lord ruling over them.
Right.
And so then they, but then they choose, and they were, that was working very well. And then they rejected them. Mm-hmm. Or it could have worked really well. He would have protected them.
Yeah. And at this point, the promise was still there that he was going to give them a leader. But you're right saying they rejected him as their sovereign king. Yeah.
It seems like anytime Israel starts demanding something instead of pleading for something, things go really bad.
Yeah, demanding versus pleading, requesting, asking. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I feel like it's back to the Egypt passage. You're going to become a slave, and more or less.
Yeah. So what are the ways, slave? Yep. How? What does that look like? Because he's just painting a picture.
Take this in this passage.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. So we see that an aspect of government taxation is that they're going to use force, which is what that word actually implies. To confiscate your property. That's what government is doing. They're forcibly seizing it, taking it. Yeah.
And obviously here it's not like, you know, there's a tree in your yard. We like that tree. Go chop down the tree. It's like what's valuable to you. And that's more what they're after. What has a sense of value.
Yeah. He describes like your best, the best of your fields. Yeah.
Which that would be hard to have some guy eventually, you know, walk down through your field and go, oh, that's a good one, and that's a good one. Mm-hmm. You're left with, you know, who knows what's on.
Right, the scraggly
right.
ones that are barely.
Deformed fruit.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Gets put in the mystic market.
So then you're in the what market?
The misfits.
Oh, the misfits market.
Turn this one into apples. It isn't good enough to put on display.
Yeah, right. You just think, I mean, that encourages a black market.
Right.
You know?
Hiding
away of your best stuff. Yep. Yeah. What else?
You will take the tenth of your flocks. There's mm-hmm. that, at least that. Mm-hmm. 10% in there.
Mm-hmm. So we see a tenth again.
I mean, yeah, it's better than 20%.
It is.
Well, it's a tenth of the grain too. So yeah. Combination of the two.
Tenth of everything.
But it's a tenth of it. Yeah, it's a tenth of a lot of stuff. Yeah, and that adds up. Yeah.
Is this a warning against the king being bad, or is this a warning that if you want a king, this is what you're going to have to pay?
This is what you're going to get.
You sure you want it?
Are you sure? Because
he needs the resources, and he's only one way to.
To administer the kingdom.
But even like, I'd take wager with he needs, right? Sure. I say he wants.
Yeah.
Right? Because envy and covetousness are just in this, right? What you see is when God is sovereign, when he gets replaced, right? As you're pointing out, when he gets replaced, who fills that vacuum? Whoever's in leadership and civil government. And then they think that they can be God, but we weren't made for that.
Well, and this doesn't say that they were no longer to give the tithe to the Levites, right? So mm-hmm. now you basically are back up to 20%.
You are.
So yep. anytime you get taxed by government, that's going to reduce your charitable giving to, you know, some amount.
Mm-hmm. Or at least squeeze you out. Mm-hmm. Some people are going to wonder. Yeah, can they do both? Yep. Yeah. Schlossberg has this comment. He says, in the United States, federal tax policy illustrates the government's unconscious rush to be the god of its citizens. When a provision in the tax law permits the taxpayer to keep a portion of his money, the Internal Revenue Service calls this a tax expenditure or an implicit government grant. Do you get what they're saying? With that language?
They're not taking all of it. They're leaving you some of your paycheck.
So who's in control? They are. they think they're God. They think they get to decide what you get to keep. Because really it's theirs. And they decide. So this is not tax money that the state has collected and expended, but money it has allowed the citizen to keep by not taking it. In other words, any money the citizen is permitted to keep is regarded as if the state has graciously given it to them. Everything we have is from the state, to which we owe gratitude. In fact, we are the property of the state, which therefore has the right to the fruit of our labor. You see how that shift takes place then.
It's a really depressing way to put it.
Yeah, and he's not in favor of that. This guy wasn't in favor of it. He was saying, this is what happens. Like, yeah.
Was the tax rate ever much higher than it is now? Did you look into any of that
stuff? We are at incredibly low tax rates right now.
Okay, so it was higher at some point?
Yeah. Yeah, we were at historical lows since 1913. So yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah.
It's also interesting that after the warning, you know, you go from God, who really, in all reality, I mean, if they really think about it, doesn't need anything, but we're just requesting that 10% to this king, who's now going, like, yeah, he's going to take everything.
Well, God, because God, he's always gives. He's always giving. The rain, sun.
Yep.
These are things where he's giving. Like
all the armies they conquered just simply because God was there. Now they gotta have this king who's gotta, you know, needs his chariots and his horsemen. I'm sure they had that, but you know, the difference between someone taking that from you as opposed to you, you know, doing the service in that way.
And God can provide the means
right.
to have those armies, but
like Gideon, you know,
right.
who went in with who knows how much guys to take out.
Yeah. What else is it?
Well, we probably would have done the same thing though.
Yeah. So you see here the rejection of God, you see confiscation really of private property through taxation. So this is envy and covetousness playing, and it's a form of theft. And then coercive taxation, they're going to use force. And then redistribution of wealth. You see that. This is a Marxist dream right here, this passage. Right? Till ultimately, he will take the tenth of your flocks and you shall be his slaves. Right? Those who are rich are going to have to hand over their wealth. It's going to be redistributed to the king, to the state. And then the poor, they receive something, but they eventually become the gracious recipients of father state. State becomes the father. They become dependent upon him. So Lyndon B. Johnson, he said this, we're going to try to take all the money that we think is unnecessarily being spent and take it from the haves and give it to the have-nots that need it so much. So you can see leadership in our country thinking we want to redistribute the wealth. And we see that right here. Here's the warning in Scripture. So, we got a lot of other passages to go to. Maybe we just pause right there and we'll pick up next week and keep going. So
that main redistribution part, we're going off of and give it to his officers and to his servants. That's
yeah.
The part. What's the redistribution?
Yeah. Yeah. Now that's redistribution that he thinks, right? And but that's the like when Johnson said that, or when other politicians and Thomas Saul has pointed this out, that this is this rhetoric of we're going to take in order to give to like public services. That's never what actually happens. Like, they're redistributing it, they're pocketing a bunch of it, their friends are pocketing it, their supporters are pocketing it, and something ends up over here. But the poor don't actually get equalized with the wealth that they're taking from. And Sal has pointed this out. Across the world, it's not just America politicians who say it this way, like, you got this in other countries as well. So.
Or even like that. There's a reverse problem where if you give it out, then you lose the income coming in because people are like, well, we're just going to hand it out, and you know, whatever they do on the side, but then those people just pocket it. It's like, well, there's no reason for me to go in.
Right.
I can just sit here talking with other people.
Yeah. So you're saying they don't work to earn. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
But in some ways, you know, like you can understand, it's the giving of that money to the poor person, but then there's a difference between, okay, what's poor look like now? Is that the guy who just doesn't want to work, mm-hmm. so he's poor, or is there a person who's actually trying to work, but they can't?
Right. Yeah.
You are going to get to some good news in this tax stuff one of these weeks, right?
Not really.
No? Okay, right. Downhill
from here.
Just come expecting to be glum.
Yeah, my general assessment would be that we live in a incredibly unjust system of taxation right now. It's not anywhere close to what scripture would suggest.
Probably based on the progressive tax, the more you make, the more higher your percentage.
Yeah, we probably are taxed somewhere between 40% and 60% of our income in total across the board. All the taxes, when you take into account inflation, when you take into account what the government does with sending aid overseas, how the central bank works, or the Federal Reserve, all that stuff. Like,
well, I'm hopeful too, like, at least right now, for the next 4 years, that some of that will be trimmed away. But
yeah.
They want to make the external revenue service. You think about that?
Yeah.
Where it's reduced dependence on like the IRS internal, taking money from citizens and taking money from other countries in the form of tariffs and things like that.
Yeah.
It's two fun things here.
Sure.
But yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. We'll see if we have time to talk about tariffs. Yeah. So yeah. Yeah. There's lots of, I think, for us to get educated about and figure out what we can do to advocate for changes. So yeah. There will be a slimmer of hope in this conversation. I'll say that. Yeah.
Okay.
So, all right. Thanks, guys.